Hello, everyone, and welcome to the live VeriSign SimonTech-sponsored webinar, How a Strong Approach to Security Can Lead to Impressive ROI, presented by Retail Online Integration. I'm Peggy Hatch, Group President and Publishing Director of the Target Marketing Group and the host of today's event. In a moment, we'll hear from our speaker, Ryan White, who is a Senior Product Marketing Specialist from SimonTech. He will be discussing various security solutions and how they can help to improve your company's bottom line. But before we get started, let me point out a few tips on how to make the most of today's live webinar. First, if you have any technical difficulties, troubleshoot by clicking on the Help button at the bottom of the console, or let us know via the Ask a Question box. Second, make sure you turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can see and take part in any interactive portions of today's presentation. To get a PDF version of the slide presentation for future reference, click on the Download Slides button on the console. If you're enjoying this webinar and would like to spread the word to your peers, you can send an email invitation directly from the console by clicking the Invite a Colleague button. You can also give us your feedback at any time during the hour by clicking the Survey button. This survey will also be distributed at the end of today's webinar. As you know, today's speaker will be answering select questions live at the end of the presentation. Use the Ask a Question feature on the console to submit your questions for consideration in advance at any time. If you have to leave the presentation, you can access the entire webinar on demand for the next 90 days via the same audience link you used to watch the presentation today. After that, the webinar can be viewed from the ROI website at www.retailonlineintegration.com. Finally, we encourage you to tweet about this webinar today. Please use hashtag #ROIWebinar when doing so. And now it's my pleasure to introduce today's speaker. Here to discuss different security measures and how they can improve ROI, we have Ryan White. Ryan has been active in the online security space for the past 5 years. He's been instrumental in explaining how proper security and trust indicators impact the overall success of online businesses. Ryan has been featured in several online publications and is a frequent speaker on the subject of security. And with that, Ryan, please take it away.
Great. Thanks a lot, Peggy, and special thank you to everybody for joining us today. Quick little agenda slide here. We're going to talk a lot about security. We're going to talk a lot about how to really leverage security both across multiple channels that you have available to you, but also really using security as a differentiator against your competitors, but also trying to drive more conversions, trying to drive more sales on your website. So what we're going to talk about is set the stage really with some stats and some data about security and different types of threats that are existing out there, and how different products and services that we offer that are available to you can really help to thwart some of these issues. We're going to talk about the multiple channels. So we have ways of leveraging trust marks, great outward-facing expression to your customers that your site's authentic and safe and all those good things. And we have the ability of leveraging that across a multitude of channels for you, and want to talk a little bit about that. Talk a little bit about the latest development in the SSL space. It doesn't change a whole lot as the years go by, but at this point, I'm sure we've all seen or heard about the green bar and extended validation SSL. We'll talk a little bit about that and some successes that we've seen from some of our customers in testing this and measuring results on their website. And then one thing that I really like talking about is customer communications, and we're going to spend some time talking about that. I think it's a very, very important thing to touch on, and I think it's something that a lot of companies are getting wrong these days. And so I want to offer some tips that you can go and take back to your marketing teams right away and to really help with just spreading that word and explaining what you're doing and what type of security measures you do have in place. So the first stop on our tour here today is going to be talking about different types of security threats and how this is really affecting consumers that are out there. And so what we really want to show here is that there's been this fundamental shift over the years in the threat landscape. And it used to be that we'd hear about hacking and people would just go in there and try to hack accounts and whatever that really meant. And it was the buzzword and the term that everybody resonated with, different types of security threats and breaches and things of that nature. And then at some point that shifted over to cybercrime, and it became known as cybercrime. And this was when identity theft was becoming very prevalent, phishing was becoming the new hot topic in social engineering threats, and everything was kind of lumped into to cybercrime. Then things kind of shifted, and the new types of threats that are out there are really just spying on people, and we call this cyber espionage, where they want to gather information from you. They want to know what sites you're visiting. They want to track you with cookies, and they when I say they, I'm referring to the online criminals that are out there. But really, what's happening is they're changing their approach, and I'm not sure how many of us have heard of things like FireSheep, which uses packet sniffing to sidejack sessions and things like that. We have other full sessions where we talk about that, so we won't get into too much detail about that, but we're just seeing new types of threats that are really changing the approach that the criminals are taking to conning people out of their information, and that's led to what we're terming it now, which is cyber warfare. It's really us against them. It's us as businesses and security vendors and the good people in the ecosystem up against the criminals that are out there, the fishers, the farmers, the people that are using attacks like FireSheep or other types of spyware to con people out of their information. And at the end of the day, what's really important to think about is that there's this constant shift happening from the criminals that are out there, and it's really up to us as security vendors to stay ahead of that trend, and you as businesses to rely on us to help you stay ahead of that trend. So hopefully you'll find a lot of information in this session today, and we'll really go into detail about a lot of these things. So one thing that I like to talk about, we are a security company, and we talk a lot about trust. We're pretty good at this, and at the end of the day, your customers, the consumers that are out there, are terrified. They're very, very frightened by all the different types of attacks that are out there. They don't know the difference between each and every type of attack. They hear about identity theft. They hear about UK lottery scams. They hear about just other types of phishing attacks and identity theft that are existing out there. And this is still the number one concern amongst consumers. They want to know that their information is safe. A recent survey done found that 80% of the people surveyed said that they wanted to keep their information safe. I kind of like that stat because it's real. It's not 100%, which is what it should be, and I'm really concerned about the 20% that aren't concerned about their information being safe, but we can get to that at another time. And at the end of the day, phishing is still this huge problem for people. It used to be targeting banks. Now it's targeting all types of other industries, and we've all seen phishing attacks happen where a company will email you, say, hey, your account's going to be suspended if you don't update this information, or I've got all this money that I want to send to you, but I need your bank account credentials to send you this money. The idea is they're using a social engineering attack primarily through email to send people to fake websites that look like real websites and get people to hand over their information. Used to be a huge problem, but it's really been perceived as a big problem for banks and financial institutions. But you have to also consider that when a consumer is out there transacting and doing anything that they're doing online, and they're hearing about attacks that may affect their bank, you can't expect them to limit it just to those types of activities. They're going to assume that the entire internet is vulnerable to these types of attacks, and whether or not they're actually targeting the e-commerce site or the utility payment sites or whatever it may be, it still affects all of us at the end of the day. And then there's another type of attack that's making a lot more buzz these days, which is malware, short for malicious software, kind of a conjugated word, I guess, there. It's a way for the cyber criminals to either infect your site with code, put key logging software on there that's going to look at what you type into certain fields on websites, or just put an annoying spy bot that's just going to slow your machine down or drag some things down. This is a problem that we've been trying to solve in the marketplace. If you're distributing malware to people, it looks really, really bad to the end user, but it also does something differently, and the search engines are treating these differently as well now, where if you're found to be distributing malware on your website, whether you know it or not, you can become blacklisted. To remove a blacklist label on you takes a very long time, up to 6 months in some instances, and it's just a real big pain in the neck for you as a business, and it keeps your mind off the prize, which is, hey, how do I make more money, or how do I make my site more effective online? But the search engines are not only blacklisting, they're also putting up roadblock pages that really send the wrong message to the end user and say, hey, there's something wrong with this site. Are you sure you want to continue on there? And whatever you're doing to build a rapport with that customer and to build that trust and to build that relationship with your users, well, that all goes away when they start hearing these other messages from places that they trust, like Google, that are saying there's something wrong with your website. So you definitely don't want this to happen to you. I'm going to make this very not vendor pitchy, but this may be a little bit of a pitchy portion of this, but I do want to talk about what we are bringing to the table to solve these problems that you may or may not even be addressing today. What we do is we offer a website malware scanning service, and there's a lot of vendors you can get this from, but we bundle it into our SSL certificates so that you don't have to go out and find another provider for that. We're not charging any more for it. It's really just a value add that we're trying to bring to add more value to our existing customer base and to make our offering a little bit more appealing to others as well. But what we'll do essentially is scan the HTML code, and essentially what that means is we're looking at all the HTML content, and we're looking for signs that a malware intrusion has happened. And there's an algorithm that's used for this, and there's a lot of indicators that are looked at by this particular service. And it's designed to identify you and proactively find malware on your website before the search engines do, before you become blacklisted, before you have a bigger problem. So we look at the top 200 pages of your website. It's non-intrusive. It's about the same as 5 extra users coming to your site, and I'm sure we can all afford having 5 extra users come to our site at any point during the day. But what we do is we look for these instances of malware. If we find it, we notify you, and it's all done in real time. We'll send you a notification through your console where you're managing your certificates from and let you know, hey, we found some malware. This is a specific line of code that's malicious, and these are the pages that it can be found on. So we're essentially doing everything we can to remove this for you without actually removing it ourselves. And we can't go and change the code on your page and use any of web authoring tools on your own websites. That wouldn't really be right. So that's really where we have to stop with our assistance, but we'll help you through every step of the way to remove this type of malicious code. So all your webmaster has to do is do a control find on that particular website, find the malicious line of code, remove it, rescan the site, we'll scan it again, and tell you that everything's okay at that point. We're going to do this every day, and what that's doing is, again, being proactive and finding it before a search engine finds it, before somebody that you don't want finding it finds the malicious code and blacklists you and just leads to a really, really bad day for you. So something to think about, something that we're helping to solve. And from there, we're going to go and we're going to talk about Trustmarks now and really how to approach security and what can you be doing to make security at the forefront of your overall strategy. So let's talk a little bit about our Trustmark. We've all seen this before. It's the VeriSign Trusted Seal. It's on, you know, seen about 650 million times a day on a little over 100,000 websites around the world. We've had a number of our customers do various testing, including some A-B split testing, where they found that the average uplift from using this seal, so if they were showing people the seal, they split their traffic into two groups, what an A-B split test is, half were seeing the seal, the other half were not. Well, the people that were seeing the seal tended to convert 24%, almost a quarter more than the ones that did not. So we're talking about ROI today. We're talking about security and how that can lead to an impressive ROI. This is one of our proof points to really show that's happening. People recognize this mark. It's really an outward-facing expression for you to communicate well to your customer base that this is really my website. It's authentic. It's legitimate. You should be able to trust my website. And we've brought this to multiple channels now. We're looking at places like Facebook where there's a number of companies that are bringing up social commerce, social storefronts, things like that. We're integrating with those types of businesses so that when you're trying to sell goods on Facebook, well, the seal is going to show up next to those results when you're on your company's page or your ads or whatever it may be. We have a number of vendors or a number of partners that we have relationships with, and be happy to share those with you at another time. We also have something that we've coined as Seal in Search, and there's a reason for this strategy, but essentially what it's doing is bringing that seal to comparison shopping sites as well as search engines so that even before people are getting to your website to transact or to interact with your site, they're getting the security messaging. And what that does is it really helps out a lot with this overall message, and I like this because it's nice and crisp and it's nice and clean, but it's ideally trust from start to finish. So you're looking at traffic, getting traffic to your website. That's where Seal and Search comes into play. And I'll show you some examples of what that looks like in just a second. But and you can kind of see it on the screen there, too, where the seal does show up next to sites. This is a screenshot from Google. It's showing up next to sites that have been authenticated by VeriSign. We've authenticated you. We know you're one of the good guys. We know that you're a legitimate business. You should be able to show that to your customers, too, and you should be able to show that to them before they get to your website. It's all plugin based, so if you're going to Google right now and looking for that seal to show up, you're not going to see it right away. You do need to install a plugin. We'll provide you with the link for that at the end of the call here. And then the other element of this, the second element, is trust the site. So they get to the website, they use the search engine, they see that link with the seal next to it, and they say, okay, I'm going to go to that site because I know that seal from somewhere. They get to the website, and then you continue to show them that same consistent messaging. This is going a long way to thwart any types of attacks. Now think of a phisher or some other kind of criminal is trying to spoof your website. Well, then they have to add one more element to their attack, and they have to either go and get an SSL certificate from us, which they're not going to pass our authentication, so they won't, or they're going to have to spoof our seal. Well, if they spoof our seal, we have measures in place to make sure that, A, only sites that should be displaying our seal are, and if you're just copying the image and slapping it on your website, we have a way of finding that out as well, which is slightly proprietary, so I can't go into too much detail about it, but it uses an image recognition software, finds sites that shouldn't be displaying our seal that are, and we'll contact either ISPs or the site directly and have them remove the logo, or in rare circumstances, which we have done on a number of occasions, actually remove that site and take it down because they are violating our brand. It's something that we take very seriously, and we do a lot to enforce and protect that. And then the last element of this is trusting the transaction. So they're on that page, they're entering personal information, they're entering their credit card number, they're entering their login details, whatever that may be. Trust that part of it too. Use that seal. Use that same consistent messaging all the way across. Our seal takes minutes to install. It doesn't impact the load of any web pages. It's very non-invasive. It's designed to be that way and really just to create that extra sense of comfort for the end users. Take a closer look at what Seal and Search is all about. This is using, again, a plugin that's available from an antivirus provider. Anybody that has been authenticated by VeriSign will show up with the seal next to their search listing and search results. And the idea behind that is make that link stand out a little bit more, get more clicks onto the website, again, more traffic, and that should lead to more business and getting more people through the door and becoming customers and becoming paying customers for you. One of the great things about this, there's 80 million people using this plugin around the world today, so it's definitely out there. There's a lot of your customers that are seeing it. So if you're not seeing it on your machine, that shouldn't really worry you as much as knowing that your customers are able to see this on their site today. And one of the things to think about with this as well, again, we're not charging anymore for this. This is all bundled into our solution. And the idea behind it is just get more business to your website. But it also helps to augment your SEO function. So you have a team probably that's dedicated to getting your links up as high as they can within search results. How do we manage our paid search versus natural and organic search? And how do we really go about this strategy? Well, having the seal in those search results isn't going to push your link up any higher. I wish it would because that would be a wonderful value proposition for you guys. But it's going to make it stand out a little bit more. It's going to augment those efforts because you're spending the tens of thousands of dollars to get your link as high as you possibly can and spending all the time with linking to other sites and having sites link to you and doing all those efforts. Well, make it stand out even further when you get it up to the top. Make it stand out from the number two guy that doesn't have that seal showing up next to it. So it's really there to serve as a differentiator for you and to make your link stand out more from the competition and other people that may be showing up. And then that should lead to more people clicking on your link and, you know, enjoying your selection of products and services. We also bring this to comparison shopping sites. Here's a good example of a comparison shopping site called The Find. If you're an e-commerce website out there, this will be interesting to you. They added the seal to their search results, and they said, okay, we have a security indicator, which is a padlock, when we know that the site's secure. And that's good, but we think there's some value in this VeriSign seal, and we're going to test it, and we're going to show it next to the sites that actually have been secured using these SSL certificates. And what they were able to find was that the sites that were getting that seal versus that lock were being clicked on 18.5% more than the ones that did not. So another real good proof point for you, you're getting more traffic to your website. Doesn't mean they're gonna buy, doesn't mean they're gonna, you know, become a customer and continue that purchase, but getting them there is half the battle. And that's gonna get them in the door, get them onto your website, and then let your offers do the rest of the talking for you. and really can convince them that, hey, this is a good idea. I want to continue with this website. And it does make it stand out. So there's a lot of value in that. And it goes back to that recognition. You know, you have this recognition of a very strong brand, a very good trust mark. You should leverage that and align that with your brand and just see what kind of success that has for you. And in the days of testing, we can all test this stuff for ourselves too and see, is this something that's going to work for me? Is this something that maybe doesn't work for me? And really see the proof in the pudding for yourselves there. More on that later as well. Want to talk a little bit about extended validation now in the green bar. I'm sure we've all seen this before. It's on 38,000 or so websites, but here's a quick example of what it looks like in a few different browsers. So you have Internet Explorer at the top, Firefox in the middle, and then Safari at the bottom. 85% of the browsers that are in use today can show this green bar, so your customers are seeing this. I would imagine that the numbers for you are probably a little bit higher even. And I would imagine a big portion of that 15% is probably corporate America, where a little bit slower to adopt newer age browsers. But starting with Internet Explorer 7, Microsoft decided, hey, we want to be able to show something different with SSL certificates that have gone through a more extensive validation procedure. And so what happened was a group was formed back in 2005. It was called the CA Browser Forum. And what that was, a group of browser manufacturers and security vendors, certificate authorities, people like that, and some outside auditing agencies got together and said, you know, there's really no standard for how certificate authorities are authenticating businesses. And the padlock was great for a very long time. We're all very familiar with that, and we've all seen it in our travels as we go across and enter personal information online. But with no standard for how those sites are authenticating, what does that padlock really mean? And as a practice called domain validation came about, which I believe is necessary in the market, but also kind of has been exploited by the criminals that are out there, domain validation meaning that the only thing that's authenticated by the business, that by the certificate authority, is that that domain exists and they own that domain. Well, anybody can go and register and own a domain and set up a website on that domain. So there's really no control there, and it doesn't say a whole lot about who you're actually talking to. Well, phishers, the online criminals caught on to this and said, hey, I'm not getting as many people to enter their bank account information because they're looking for that padlock to be on the website. What if I could get that padlock? And they looked into how they could do that. Well, I own a domain. I can get a domain validated certificate, put a padlock into my SSL attack, and I'm going to fool more people. Yes, it's going to cost them a little bit more, but as we continue talking about ROI, they can establish their ROI as well. They add a little bit more investment into their procurement of the certificate for the website, and the next thing you know, they're fooling more people and they're making a lot more money with their attack. So the CA Browser Forum was formed to create a standard for how certificate authorities, which is where the CA comes from in CA Browser Forum, are to authenticate businesses. And so it created a very stringent process where we have to authenticate the employee, we have to authenticate the business, we have to authenticate the domain, and we have to authenticate the ability for that employee, it's part of their job essentially, to procure certificates on behalf of that company. So we do a lot of checks and balances. It's more authentication than what we've been doing in our 15 years of issuing certificates, but it's designed to create a standard. So now why am I telling you all that? Well, it's because with this standard, the browsers have also gotten on board and said, we're going to add additional visual cues that let users know when they're in this environment. And what we're going to use for that is what we call the green bar. And you can see how it's a little bit different in each integration here, but at the end of the day, they all use an instance of the green bar. But more importantly, they tell you what business you're talking to. So if the site has the look and feel of PayPal, but the name of the organization is Hacker Inc. in the what's called the security status bar, which is where that name displays, well, that's going to clue some users into thinking, okay, maybe I'm not in the right spot. So the idea is add more visual cues. Let's go beyond the padlock, which, again, was great for a very, very long time. But I think that as we kind of talked about at the beginning of the call, as the threat landscape has evolved and continued to change, well, we as security providers, we as browser manufacturers, we as the good guys in the ecosystem need to come together and help to solve these problems. So you can see the interface there. I want to give you a quick little snapshot of some sites that are using this today. I mentioned there's about 38,000 domains, and they're across all major business verticals. Some of our bigger verticals are the e-commerce and banking guys, simply because very transaction-oriented and very threat concern. They're concerned about threat and phishing and things like that in the financial institutions arena. However, if you look at places like online travel, if you look at healthcare, if you look at places like Twitter and Hotmail and places where you can go and pay your gas and power bills, they're all adopting this solution because it is a standard. It means something. It brings a lot more to the table for SSL, and it doesn't cost a whole lot more based on what we're going to talk about next, which is the ROI that can be established from having this on your website. So a couple of sites that have measured this and seen some positive results. And real quick, what they did was they would look at browser versions. So Internet Explorer 7 was the first browser to show the green bar. So Internet Explorer 6, because EV wasn't invented when Internet Explorer 6 came out, never showed a green bar and never will show a green bar. So what happened was these companies were able to take a look at their conversion rates before and after deploying the certificate. So look at IE6 versus IE7, and they'd measure conversion rates or cart abandonment or account signups, whatever they were interested in measuring, before they deployed that certificate. And so let's say they looked at it for a month before they deployed that certificate. IE6 and IE7, going to be seeing the same experience because without that EV certificate in place, well, there's no green bar for IE7 either. And that helps to set a baseline here. So they looked at those two numbers, and then they said, okay, we deployed the certificate on, you know, May 31st. Let's see what happened from June 1st to June 30th. Well, they found a pretty significant increase, and the average uplift that we've experienced is about 17.8% when that green bar was present. And what that meant was the IE6 users stayed relatively the same. Their conversions didn't go up. They didn't necessarily drop. They stayed at their normalized conversion rate. But the IE7 users, they had a conversion rate X before. Well, now all of a sudden their conversion rate went up. And what was the cause of that? What can we look at and what can we really determine is the cause for that? And you're looking at the same time period. You're looking at the same ability for both of these websites to convert. You're probably not offering special deals to IE6 users versus IE7 users. I'd be shocked if anybody's doing that. And so it really takes out seasonality. It takes out any kind of environmental factors and ties it as best as it can back to that green bar being there. Impossible to do a true A-B split test and tie everything back to that particular solution, but the way that these tests have been set up have really led people to find that, hey, it's the green bar that's helping drive these conversions. CanadaDrugs.com also found that they increased conversions by a pretty significant rate of about 33%, but they also found that the people that were on these high-security browsers were spending more. So they weren't just buying one or two items. They were buying three or four maybe. They're greater wallet share, so average ticket value was going up. Overstock.com, company we've all come to know and know is very established in the marketplace, still saw about an 8.5% reduction in shopping cart abandonment when they introduced the green bar. So they were able to really measure this. I'm sure the ROI for them is absolutely staggering based on the cost of the certificates, which, again, isn't very much. You think about 50% more for your SSL spend, which isn't a tens of thousands of dollar investment. It's more of a few hundred dollars investment in those cases. And then another site, PayPal, over 200 million users these days, had a several percentage point decrease in abandonment rates. So the larger the company, the smaller the uplift or the smaller the decrease in abandonment, but that makes a lot of sense because they have that brand established already. They're known, they're well known, they're well respected. And then the smaller companies that we've seen, the smaller businesses, are the ones that are really getting even more benefit from this. Their ROI may not be as impressive because you're talking about smaller dollars, but their increases in conversions, their increases in doing business better are just really being impacted by having this on the website and getting these additional security indicators. And at the end of the day, consumers are concerned about security. They want to know they're safe. And I'm not convinced that every consumer out there, every user that's out there knows what that green bar means and says, oh, that means that the site went through an extended validation vetting process. And I can be a realist and step off the pedestal on that and say, it's probably because of this green bar. It is because of this green bar that they're converting more. It doesn't matter if they understand it or not. And we have ways of helping you explain that to them. But at the end of the day, they're feeling better. They're feeling more confident when they're seeing that green bar. And it's driving more conversions. And that's what we're concerned about. And that's what we want to be doing online. We want to be making more money. We want to make our businesses more effective. And this is a great way of doing just that. So I talked about some people that have seen the benefits of all this, and we also have some trials available. So if you're worried about cost, if you're worried about, hey, how is this really going to impact me, well, we can make it pretty easy on you to really test it real live on your site. So we have 30-day trials available for all of our products. We're the only certificate authority that offers an EV trial that I know of still as of today. And we have it available for all of our SSL certificates. We have another product called the Trust Seal, which is essentially just that seal in the malware scanning and seal and search component without SSL. So for sites that don't need SSL, we have a solution available for you, too, where you can leverage this brand and increase that confidence and trust and all those good things with your customer base. So what we have you do here is you sign up for the 30-day trial, set up your environment, and determine your test your success metrics. Do you want to know if more people sign up for your services? Do you want to know if more people convert? Do you want to know if less people are abandoning? Do you want to know, set up your success parameter and then run that test. There's a lot of ways you can do testing today, a lot of free tools out there. There's a lot of pay-to-play tools as well. If you need help with that, by all means, get in touch with us. We'll be more than happy to help steer you in a direction with some people that we've more or less approved as partners, I guess I'd say, and then evaluate the results. Look at this for yourself. See whether or not this is impacting your user base. See what kind of an impact it's having. Take a look back and say, okay, now if it's increasing my conversions by even 1% over the course of the year and it's going to cost me, you know, X dollars to implement this on my website, well, what's that going to translate to in increased sales? What's that going to translate to me in increased revenue? And where is my ROI on that? So there's a really quick and easy way for you to establish that and determine, you know, how much impact and how is this really going to help my specific customer base. So I urge you to check it out. I urge you to give it a shot and just see, again, what does this do for your specific customer base? And tell us about it if you want. We'll be happy to publish you in a case study or feature you on our website as well. So self-serving plug, I'm sorry, but provide us with some feedback. We'd love to hear from you. And if you need help setting up testing and things like that, I'm more than happy to help anybody out with that and can get on the phone and whatnot. So do get in touch with us, and we'll go from there on that. Going to shift gears again here slightly, and we're going to talk a little bit about another feature that you can add to your website from a security perspective. You're going to see on the right side there's some forms of this cycling through, but what we call it is VeriSign Identity Protection Service, and it is a two-factor authentication solution. So for those of you not familiar with two-factor authentication, it is it's an extra layer of security that you're providing to your customers. Not everybody's not all of your customers are going to want to leverage this, but the ones that are probably your power users and the ones that are even more concerned about the different types of security threats we've been talking about and could benefit a lot from this. So what we do is we have a cloud-based system. Two-factor authentication is essentially something you know, which would be your username and password type of credentials. And then what happens is the user sets up their account when you implement this particular service, and they say, I want to add a second factor, so this would be something that they have. And it could be one of the tokens that we saw scrolling through the screen. We have soft tokens that are deployed on 700-plus smartphones that are out there today. So there's a lot of ways that you can be using these factors, or there's credit cards or the classic token system, which we've the industry itself has really gone away from over the years. But it's a one-time validation service. So what's going to happen is you have this the service set up for your account, and either on your mobile phone or it can be within the toolbar of your web of your browser, it could be a token again. It's going to prompt you for a password. And so what you do is you go into that application on your phone or you go to that token and you say, I need a password. You hit a button. It shoots out a six-digit code. That six-digit code is going to be good for 30 seconds. So what this is doing is it's adding that extra layer of security. So let's say that your username and password are compromised by an attacker in some way, or you had it written down on a piece of paper and somebody's got that now, they're going to have what you know. They know your username and password. But if you have this second factor built in, then they have to have your token as well. They have to have what you have. So unless they stole your phone and your phone had all your passwords on it and this particular token, you're going to be in pretty good shape still if your passwords are compromised. Or if somebody guesses your password, they're not going to have this second factor so they can actually log in and do anything with your account. So again, it's not for everybody, but what we do is we have this enterprise integration approach. We have these that we distribute the tokens through mobile devices, and the idea behind that is it's free. So you pay the setup fee to get this set up and to offer this to your customers, but the end users don't have to pay anything. They don't have to go and buy a token any longer. They can just download an app for their smartphone and have it set up that way. And so there isn't a cost barrier there, and you're just offering more peace of mind, more security, that sense of security for the customers that are visiting your site. And at the end of the day, back to what I was saying before, these are probably your power users. These are probably the guys that are the most concerned about security and are going to get the most value out of having this and are going to reward you with loyalty and continue to be your customer because they feel that you're taking care of their needs and that you're helping them out. One of the other differentiators that the Symantec approach has on this is a networked approach. So back in the day when this was relatively new, about 4 years ago or so, 5 years ago maybe, it was all token-based. So you had to carry on a token, and most providers would have a token for each individual account. So if you had this set up for your E-Trade account, you would have a token, and that was for your E-Trade account. If you had one for your mail account, you would have a token, and that was for your mail account. Well, if you set this up for 20 or 25 accounts that you have across the web, all of a sudden you're carrying around a little necklace or a keychain that's full of tokens, and you're trying to figure out which token is what. So one of the differentiators that we came up with was, why don't we make this a networked approach and have the same token, same credential, work across whatever sites are within this network. So that's what we've done. Same credential is going to work at eBay, that works at PayPal, that works at Geico, that works at your Schwab account. Wherever it is that you are that you have this set up for that's in our network, you can use that same credential. You don't have to carry around multiple credentials. You don't have to have multiple apps on your smartphone. You just have that one credential, and it works at all these places. The customer still needs to set up their account at each respective site to have it accept the one-time password solution, but that's easy enough for them to do. They do that once and they're done. One of the troubles that I had before was losing my token and not being able to log into my PayPal account any longer. So what they did in those situations was just set up some additional challenge and security questions to reset that token and to issue a new one. So if those types of issues do come up, there's ways to get around that as well. But at the end of the day, again, this is really just an extra nice to have for a subset of your users that are going to be out there that are really going to benefit and reward you for having this on the site. Now, as we start to close here, we got about 10 more minutes, I'm sure, then we're going to jump into some Q&A. I want to talk about customer communications. At the top of the hour, I was mentioning how I see countless businesses getting this wrong, and I want to just outline a few tips that you can go back and start using right away, essentially, to start communicating efficiently to your customers and letting them know that, you know, what security measures you have in place without necessarily tipping off the criminals that are out there. The first one that I want to talk about is proper use of email. With phishing still becoming more and more popular out there, this is very, very important. What I like to tell people about using email properly are things like, tell your users what you're going to do. Hey, we're going to send you a card in the mail that offers you special offers once a month, or we do whatever other activity it may be that you're doing, but good communication on that is going to go a long way. But what's equally important, I think what a lot of people miss, is tell them what you don't do. Tell them that you're not going to call them and ask them for account credentials over the phone. Tell them that you're not going to text them and ask them for account credentials over a text, which is something that we've seen happening more and more lately. And also tell them that you're not going to send them an email telling them that their account's been suspended or that there's a problem with their account. You want to make sure that you're communicating that properly because it's going to help limit their chances of becoming victimized by one of these attacks. And at the end of the day, the consumers are putting the onus on you as the online business to keep them safe. If something goes wrong, it's human nature not to blame themselves. They're going to point the finger at you. And again, that's going to just destroy that relationship that you have going on with your customers. Another great thing is just to keep those promises. So if you're going to tell them you do something, you tell them you don't do something, make sure you do and do not do those things and you don't stray from that course. Something very important to think about. Another great place, where are people going to go when they want to know about your security practices? Well, they're going to go to your security and privacy page. I can go to 10 websites in a day, and 8 of them have security and privacy pages that haven't been updated since 2005. This is something that I just see rampantly out there. It's very important to keep those things as updated as you possibly can. Tell them this is a great place to explain some of your procedures to them, but you want to walk that line and not necessarily provide the criminals with an edge so they know what they can exploit. So you tell them what features you have in place, but you don't give away the proprietary ones, or you don't tell them exactly how you do it. You just let them know that it's being done. And explain those security features, and do as much as you can. And again, factual, thorough, as up to date as you possibly can. Very, very good ideas for keeping that together. And then customer education. This is very, very important as well. And how do you get this right? And this is something that we can help with. We have copy blocks available for both the EVSSL portion of this as well as the SEAL. I'll explain some EV ones in just a little bit. But we do have some tools available to you that you can use to properly communicate and get the message right to explain what features you have in place, and again, without really tipping off the bad guys to give them an edge up on you. One of those things that we have is something that I'd urge you to take a look at. It's a quiz/game that we've created called Fish or No Fish. You can find it at fish-no-fish.com. Actually, just recently won an award for best educational tool by an outside agency. But essentially what it does is it puts two websites side by side. And the idea is, put a consumer or a person that owns a business, or anybody on this call could probably benefit from this, and have them identify which one is the phishing site. And you go through these five scenarios, and it actually gives you some education about why this was a phishing site or why it wasn't. Again, go ahead and play it. It's available in a number of languages too. But at the end of the day, it's designed to show how crafty some of the phishers are. In this case, you can't really read it, but the one on the right is using the common scare tactic to get some login credentials, something, again, that a lot of sites aren't going to do. Then what happens is the user is given some information about that green bar and what EVSSL is all about, and it makes it a lot easier to identify when the site is real in these situations. So now they're asked to identify what the real site is, and they have that green bar to help them out. Again, it makes it very intuitive for you and eliminates any of the guesswork that really comes with identifying when a site is real or not. And then at the end of the day, the other thing that's really important to think about in this regard is that when users are out there walking around on the internet and doing things online, they don't have two pages to look at to say, okay, which one's real and which one's fake. They only get one shot at it. And the phishers have gotten very crafty. The criminals have gotten very, very good at replicating sites and making them look legitimate. And so this does a good job of showing how that green bar can really help to show that a site's real. Now, if you're using EVSSL on your website and you want to leverage this tool, again, get in touch with us. We can help you out with that and find a way that you can be using this to educate your consumers. And again, back to what I was saying before, it's up to you to educate the consumers. The consumers are putting that onus on us as online businesses, and we need to be putting our best foot forward to help explain that to them. I mentioned before we have copy blocks available. Here's an example of how to explain EVSSL. Probably hard to read on the screen right here, but we do have this available for you. You can find it at verisign.com/explain-EV, capital E, capital V at the end there. And what it does is it just kind of calls out the different security indicators that are present in the browsers and what EV is all about and why it was incepted and what it really means to the consumer. And then also tells them, you know, here's the color scheme that you're going to see for the various browsers that are out there, typically using a traffic light type of analogy here, where it's green for go and red for stop. And red will show up when the site's been labeled as a phishing website. I didn't show a slide of what that actually looks like, but you can see that if you find a site that's a known phishing website or maybe has an expired certificate or a certificate for the wrong domain. It uses a three-tier color scheme to message to the consumer. So it's using the positive reinforcement that the green bar provides, but it's also coupling that with the negative reinforcement that you get from that red address bar. And so if you think about that in a traffic light term, when the light's green, you go, and when it's red, you stop, I hope. So that's coming to the internet, and this is, again, I think that one of the problems that businesses have is that they want to explain their security features to their customers, but maybe don't know how, or don't know how to manage resources to allocate the time to do that. So we're trying to make it easy. These are all available on our website. You can copy and paste them right from the website and put them on your site. So feel free to use that. There's no plagiarism at risk here. It's what we want to provide for you, and very soon we'll have one for the SEAL as well that's gonna help explain that. So that's the content that I had for you today. I hope you found this rather interesting here. You can follow us on Twitter. We also have an SSL blog that we're always keeping people up to date on latest developments and security threats that are out there and things of that nature. We have a bunch of case studies, so those success metrics that I was talking about, both for the SEAL and search stuff, as well as the EV stuff, can be found on our case study page at that link on your page right there. And then if you need to get in touch with us for any information about pricing, or you want to follow up on some of the other things that I promise I'd help out with, please give us shoot us an email to isales@verisign.com. They'll get you in touch with me directly. I find that giving out my email address on these things is a bad idea overall. So work through them, and they'll get you in touch directly with me, and I can, as promised, help you out with any of the topics that we discussed today, or have further conversations and things like that. So with that, I am going to open it up for Q&A at this point. I've had somebody screening the questions, and I'm going to actually read the questions to myself and do my best to answer as many of these as I can. I will say that if we can't get to all your questions, I will be happy to answer these via email after the fact. So I will be getting the questions that don't go answered, and we'll be happy to answer those on a more personal level for you. But let's start with a question we get from Sam. In what locations throughout the site do you think the SEAL is most effective in terms of KPIs? So that's a very good question. I'm glad you asked that. What we always say, so the way that we've engineered our SEAL, it looks to the top-level domain. So a lot of times a site's going to have their situation set up where you go to www.xyz.com, and I'm not collecting any information on that, or I'm an e-commerce site, and I'm just showing you which X's, Y's, and Z's you can buy. And then when you actually get to a decision, you're entering personal information, or you're going to be collecting the transaction or whatever it may be, well, that's when you need the SSL session to step in and to take place. So what happens before they get to that page, which may be login.xyz.com or checkout.xyz.com, but you want to use the SEAL before they can actually get to those pages? Well, we've engineered our SEAL to make it work in those situations too. So it looks to that top-level domain, which is xyz.com, and it allows the SEAL to show up anywhere within that particular domain. This is great for you because if you are showing them things and you want to put it in your footer on every page, or you want to have it in the header of every page, or just appear on every page, you can do that with the SEAL, whether or not the SSL certificates for that particular page is going to be actually working. What we've seen through our testing, a lot of the people that have tested have really tested on the transaction page, but we have had another one of our case studies, which is a site called Picture Store, that measured it in both terms, whether it was at the beginning or just on the checkout page, and at the end of the day, they left the SEAL at the beginning. So logic would tell me that they found that the best way to increase their conversions and the best success metrics that they found were when you showed that from start to finish. And I think there's a lot to be said about that too, because if you're showing them that consistent experience and you start thinking about SEAL and search as a part of your strategy too, if you're showing them that same outward-facing expression from before they get to your website all the way through to the transaction, well, it's going to resonate the most, and it's going to make them feel the safest and best as they continue to go through. Another question, how do you differentiate your SEAL from a McAfee or other trust marks? So the McAfee SEAL means something a lot different than the VeriSign SEAL does. The McAfee SEAL is an intrusion detection service, so they're looking for, I guess, problems with the HTML code or problems with the perimeter, that's really what their SEAL means, is it's been scanned daily. The VeriSign SEAL is an SSL SEAL, but at the end of the day, what we do every year after year, we do a brand tracking study where we measure the recognition, the effectiveness, the sense of security that the VeriSign SEAL has as opposed to any other SEAL that's out there in the marketplace. And we test it against things like McAfee. We test it against things like Trustee. We test it against things like the Better Business Bureau, other SEALs that are out there. And every year after year, hands down, our SEAL is outperforming the other ones, in both in terms of recognition, where unaided awareness, hey, which of these SEALs have you seen or do you recognize? Ours gets the most clicks every time. And also which one makes you feel safest, which ones make you feel the most secure, which ones a number of other security-related questions that we'll ask them that really help to measure the effectiveness of our SEAL. So they all do slightly different things. Trustee is all about privacy pages. Better Business Bureau is all about, how business complaints and things like that you have against your business and what practices you're actually exhibiting. Our SEAL is designed to show that the site has been authenticated, it's authentic, and it should be trusted. And so I think that one of the challenges that a lot of businesses run up against is the number of choices they have for seals. And you don't really want to put 20 or 30 seals on your website, which would be great if you have the real estate for that, but then you start looking like a race car. And that's not necessarily considered a best practice in the marketplace, but for some people, they want to appeal to as many different customers as they can. So it's really just about managing, okay, how much space do I want to give to third-party marks, and which ones are going to work the hardest for me. So my argument there is always go with the one that's going to get the most recognition, go with the one that is going to really work the hardest for you, and I think that's going to really help spell the more significant returns for you. Another question came in. What is VeriSign Symantec doing to preempt future and emerging threats and attacks? So that's a great question. We get that a lot. We are constantly looking at trying to stay ahead of the curve and saying, okay, well, what are the new attacks that are coming? What's the next big thing that's going to be coming out? And we have a group of white hat type people that are in some cases probably ex-hackers that have seen the light and have now come to the good side and are constantly looking for new and emerging threats. And we have partnerships with various companies to do this as well, but the idea is what is the next type of attack that's going to come out? We also attend a number of conferences that are dedicated to this kind of stuff. There's a conference called Black Hat that happens every year. We're always there trying to see, just get a pulse on what's new, what are the new types of attacks and threats that are coming out, and what can we do to either engineer our products to help with these things or just really stay ahead of that and talk about how our products and services do help to thwart those things. So, and with the acquisition by Symantec back in August from VeriSign, it just helped to really beef that up even more because they have a good team as well that really looks into all these things as well. So great question there. Another question. We had a lot of questions. Does the seal have any impact on the page loading? No, it doesn't actually. So we do a lot of keynote monitoring. We have a dedicated server farm that is designed to not have to exceed 60% of its peak capacity that does nothing but serves up our seals. We have a number of dozens and dozens of servers that are there to make sure that those 650 million seals a day that are being displayed aren't going to slow down page load time. So if that's a concern for you, it shouldn't be. We also have a dedicated customer support team to help troubleshoot or address any issues or concerns that you may have. So I'd urge you to take a look at that. They're available 24/7 on the phone, so you don't have to worry about email or chat support. Those are available for you if you'd like them, but you can get somebody live and on the phone any time of the day, any day of the year, and answer any questions that you might have. But yes, page load should not be a concern for you. We keep a very close eye on this and react to any significant delays that may be happening, which we don't see on a regular basis. So that's a great question. Another question came in: how much of an additional charge per year is the malware scanning? Well, there is no charge for that. So we've bundled that into our certificates, and it's designed to just be a value add for us to offer to you and just make it that much more of an incentive to consider our line of products and services. So we do that for all of our customers. If you want to opt out of it for some reason, you are more than welcome to do that, but we don't charge any more for it. It's included with every SSL certificate and trust seal that we do sell. Great question on that one. And then how much more do EV certificates cost versus normal SSL? Normal SSL, I'm assuming, is standard SSL, but EV certificates, you want to factor in an additional cost of probably about 50%. So our EV certificate started $1,000 per year per domain. So, again, we're not talking about tens of thousands of dollars. So if you have a few domains you need to secure, you're looking at a few thousand dollars to secure those with the EV certificates. And, again, we have the 30-day trial. So if you want to try it out first and make sure it's going to work, by all means do that. You know, see how it's going to work, and if you don't like it after 30 days, then just cancel that order, and you know, we'll part as friends still, I hope, and maybe we'll see you down the road and be able to use that before. Next question we have: how do you prevent people from stealing your seal? It looks like there might have been a screenshot put in there, but I'm sorry. Maybe the example is how do you prevent them from doing that with a screenshot? So it's really no surprise that people can go to Google Images, right click, and get a copy of that seal and put it up on their website. What we use, and I can only speak so much to it because it is a proprietary thing, but we will use image recognition software that matches that up against, so it'll look at it'll crawl all the domains that are out there, find instances where our seal matches that image, and if it'll vet that against our customer list, and then say, okay, well, this site shouldn't be displaying the seal, and then we'll initiate a series of legal requests to have them remove that seal. If we there's also a manual analyst process that happens here, so if we look at that website and say, this looks like a really, really bad website. This is an obvious phishing attack. This is something that needs to be dealt with right away. We won't wait through the normal diligence of giving the people the benefit of the doubt to remove that site, and we'll contact the ISP directly and either have that seal removed by the ISP, and they're usually very cooperative because they don't want to be contributing to this type of behavior, or they'll shut down the site altogether. And we've done that on a number of occasions. Again, we take it very seriously. It's our obligation to our customer base to say, you know, hey, we need to make sure we're protecting this mark, because people buy our products and services just to get this seal. It happens all the time, and we want to make sure there's really value to that, and that it's not being watered down by the criminals that are out there. But when you have that mark that's been proven so many times to do so well on websites, you're naturally going to get people trying to spoof that and use it illegitimately. So we do have to stay ahead of that, and we do the best we can to really do that. So. Great question. If you want to have a more one-on-one conversation about that, I'd be more comfortable talking about it in a little bit more detail there. So, again, do get in touch with us on that. And with that, I think we wanted to kind of wrap 5 minutes before the top of the hour so you can have a beverage or whatever you need before your next meeting. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up here. There are a few questions we didn't get to, so we will make sure we answer those via email after the fact. And I thank you very much for attending this session today. I don't know if you had any last words, Peggy, that you wanted to.
I was actually going to thank you, Ryan. Thank you for a great presentation. And we are just about out of time, but as Ryan mentioned, he will answer your questions. So please feel that you'll get your answers very, very soon. And I, on behalf of Retail Online Integration and VeriSign Symantec, we want to thank you for attending today's webinar. Be sure to check out our webinar page to get information on all of our archived and upcoming webinars.